Okay, take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will, this afternoon. And I want to say that I appreciate this great privilege of being with folk for this wonderful time of your anniversary. And in a moment, you don't need a long-winded preacher up here, and you ain't going to get it this afternoon. How's that? Several years ago, we love the pastors here in Indiana. They're so kind to me. And for my 40th year, in a ministry several years ago, they presented me with a presentation, and the presentation was they gave me a clock. I mean, of all evangelists in America, I was hoping I'd get a gun or something, and I got a clock. But I do appreciate the thoughtfulness, and I had the clock, by the way, in my study, Brother John. It's still working, so appreciate that. I want to bring a message this afternoon on the man of God. The man is the Apostle Paul. And you know something, congregation? You don't have to be around a man very long until you sense the spirit of that man. Already, those of you who don't know me, you've already formulated some kind of opinion about my life. Why is that so? Because you don't have to be around a person very long until you do sense the spirit of that individual. And I want to show you a man of God that just reveals his life. Let's all stand, please. 2 Corinthians 4, I want to read three verses to you. In verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Our dear Father, we ask again today that you would be honored and glorified by this wonderful special service. Thank you, Lord, how you've had your hand upon this ministry, and may it continue to grow. And Father, you would call young men and young ladies into your service and save many in this area. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You be seated. As we look upon the life of this man of God, the Apostle Paul, I first of all want you to realize the character of this man's ministry. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was the apostle to the Jews. God gave those men a specific ministry, just like God has given every one of us a ministry. Now, you may not go around America as I do, or go preaching on foreign fields as I do, but God, if you're saved, still has given you a ministry. And in the ministry, the Apostle Paul said, we faint not. I knew when I was a freshman at Bob Jones University that God had called me to be an evangelist. However, I felt if I were going to spend my life with pastors, I ought to know the function of a local church, and I surely ought to know the heart of a pastor. And therefore, when I was a senior, I felt led the Lord to go to a town called Anderson, South Carolina, and start an independent Baptist church. The problem was, I had no congregation. I had no contacts. I had no building. And I had no financial support. I didn't know I was supposed to have financial support. I just wanted to go and start this church. And so I went down to Anderson, and by the providence of God, I ran into Mr. King, who owned the King Shell Oil Company. And he said to me, so you want to start a church? And I don't even know how I met this man. Honestly, I'm trying to figure out. I can't recall how I met this man, except God led me to this man. So I got in this man's car. He took me around Anderson. He said, now, you could rent this building for $400, or you can rent this building for $500. I couldn't afford $4, congregation, a month. I had no money. And so I said, no, none of this will work. So I go back to school, and the next week, Dr. Stanholm, a godly man in charge of the preacher boys, called me up. He said, Jerry, there's a banker in Anderson who wants to meet you. He heard you want to start a church, and this banker wants to meet you. I said, a banker wants to meet me? He said, yes. And so he gave me the bank, First Federal Savings and Loan in Anderson. And so I go down there, and I walk in the office carrying my head like this. And I said, the president of the bank wants to meet me. And she said, we'll go in his office. And I walk in this office, and the carpet was this thick. And I sat down, and Mr. Woodson said to me, I understand you want to start a church. I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, I like your spirit. I said, thank you, sir. He said, I've got a building I'm going to let you have. I'm not going to charge you any rent. And my eyeballs got this big. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, matter of fact, I'm not going to charge you for any electricity. I said, oh, my. He said, would you like to see the building? I said, I certainly would, sir. So I put my head back up, and we start walking out the door. And we go across the street. We walk down beside the West Earl Pool Room. And right beside the West Earl Pool Room was this little rinky, dinky, pink front building, which would only seat 40 people. And he said, there it is. Boy, and I tell you, Lord put a pin right in my head, and all the air went out. He said, would you take it? What could I say? I said, yes, I'll take it. And so I took it. And I got some chairs from the rescue mission and some psalm books. I built my had some a man build my own pulpit for $5. And I went down there, and I started preaching. I started preaching to Sharon for 10 weeks. She had never raised her hand once. She never came down the aisle. And you know, I was not used to Southern ways. I really was not used to Southern ways. I'm from West Virginia. In West Virginia, you invite a man to church and say, will you come to church? He'll look you right in the eyes, cuss you out, and say, no, I won't come to your church. Or else he'll say, yeah, I'll be there. And he'd be there. That is what I was used to. I was not used to what I call this Southern ethical kindness. And here it is. My wife and I would go soul winning. And by the way, we go down there, and we would go soul winning all day Saturday, inviting people. And all in the afternoons after I preached in the morning service, we'd go out. We had no place to stay. We would go and soul winning and then sit in the car to the evening service. And I would go, and my wife and I, we'd talk with people. And they say, where you all located? We said, beside the West Earl Pool Room on West Earl Street. They said, what time's the service start? We said, 10 o'clock. They said, we'll be there. Bunch of liars. Nobody showed up. And after 10 weeks, I brought a young man and his wife, Benny and Laura Moran, to come down and to teach my Sunday school class. And so at 10 o'clock, Benny taught the Sunday school class. And 11 o'clock, no one showed up. And I got so discouraged, I took my coat off. And I looked at Benny and Laura, his wife, and my wife. And I said, well, I guess the Lord does not want me to start a church here in Anderson. I said, Benny, you know a place we can go and eat? He said, yes. I said, let's go. And I was leaving congregation. I had preached for 10 weeks, visited every weekend, solid. I took my coat off. I'm walking out the door, look at me. I'm so dejected. I've got 1 foot in the church, 1 foot in the sidewalk. When in walked two ladies who almost knocked me over that Sharon and I had visited the day before. And they said, come on in, ladies. We are now ready to start our service. And you know, I'll never forget the first sermon I ever preached. Here is my text and my outline. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, the wonderful facts, that he gave his only begotten Son, the wonderful acts, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, the wonderful pact. There was no platform. The two ladies are over here, Benny, Laura, and Sharon were over here. And I said, if there's anyone here today and you recognize you need Christ as your Savior, raise your hand in the air. And one lady went like this. I said, God bless you, ma'am. I see you. Is there anybody else? And the other lady, she raised her hand high in the air like this for salvation. And I said, God bless you, ma'am. And I had to come to invitation short. I knew Sharon and Ben and Laura were saved. So I looked over my wife's head and I said, if you raise your hand, and you want to get saved, you come down the aisle, a lady will take the Bible and take you behind the piano. We had no rooms. We had no bathrooms either. Just this little rinky-dinky square room. Well, they held onto the chairs. They didn't come forward. But I thought they would come back the next Sunday. So the next Sunday, I brought Benny and Laura Moran and a song leader, Tom and Linda Harper. And that morning, nobody showed up. Well, that evening, the service had started at 7:30. It was 7:25. And at 7:25, Tom said, "Jerry, get your coat on. Here come some people." So I got my coat on. I said, "Where are they, Tom?" He said, "I'm just teasing you." I was not in the teasing mode, my friend. I took my coat back off. It was 7:28. When all of a sudden, Tom said, "Jerry, get your coat on. Here come some people." And I got so upset. I said, "Hey, Tom, you quit teasing me." He said, "I am not teasing you. Look out the door." I looked out the door. It looked like 100 people were marching right toward our church. It was only 25. But buddy, if you preach to one person for 10 weeks, you think 25 looked like 100 as well. And these two unsaved ladies brought 25 of their friends to our meeting. And that night when I preached and gave the invitation, I said, "There'll be no standing up. There'll be no playing the piano and no singing. If you want Christ to save you, stand right now and come to me." And that night, 8 adults arose, came down the aisle to get saved. And that's how the Fellowship Baptist Church got established. This past year, I just preached its 50th anniversary. And God taught me a very valuable lesson. And here it is. It's always too soon to quit. In Galatians 6:9, the Word of God says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Proverbs 24:10, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." 2 Timothy 2:3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Congregation, in the ministry, Paul said, "We faint not." That ought to be the character of our ministry. Second of all, look in verse 2. He shows you the content of his message. "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully," get this, "but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Now look here. The manifestation of the truth. This was the content of his message. You know what? In South Carolina, my neighbor was Brother Barney Clark, one of the greatest soul winners I knew in the entire South. He would pick up hitchhikers and led them to Christ, and several of them went to college, Bob Jones University, and they're now in full, they went in full-time ministry. You know, this was a wonderful man of God. And Barney, whenever he got serious with you, he would kind of lower his head and fold his arms like this. And he was such a wonderful neighbor. I love Barney. He taught me so much about the South I did not know and Southern ways. And when I got ready to go to evangelism, he said, "Brother Jerry, can I tell you something, son?" I said, "Brother Barney, what would that be?" He said, "Brother Jerry, when you're going to evangelism," he said, "preach the word, preach the word, preach the word, you hear?" Dr. Glenn Shunk, who's my spiritual father in evangelism, he said, "Brother Jerry, can I give you some counsel?" I said, "Dr. Shunk, what would that be, sir?" He said, "Brother Jerry, when you preach, make much of the Word of God in your preaching. It's what God honors." You know what? I've tried for the years to take the heed of these men of God. You know why? Because it's not a man's intellectual powers. It's not his charisma. No, what God honors, he honors his Word. This is where the power comes from. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." It's the content of the message of making much of the word of God in our delivery and our witnessing to the unsaved. And I'm afraid that something is really going on in local churches that bothers me. And that is this. Rarely do people go out, sit down, take people, and let them get their eyes focused on the Word of God and have them read the Bible when you're witnessing to them. I met a lady in the state of Michigan many years ago. When I sat down to talk with her, right away she blurted right out and said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing, I do not believe there's a hell." I said, "You don't?" She said, "No, I do not believe there's a place called hell." I said, "Ma'am, would you be willing to read a verse out loud?" She said, "Yes, I'll do that." I said, "Read this out loud." And she read Psalm 9:17, and here's how she read it. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, in all the nations that forget God? She looked at me and said, well, no one's ever shown me that passage in the Bible. I said, would you be willing to read another passage? She said, yes. I turned to Matthew 8:12. I said, read that now out loud. And she read, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why, sir, no one ever showed me that passage. Every passage I showed her, that was her response. Until finally, she looked at me and she said this, the exact words. She said, there has to be a hell. There has to be a hell. Because God will not lie. I went on and I began to show the way of salvation. And that dear lady received Christ as her Savior. This took place in Wixom, Michigan. It was a large church. A church around four or five, like your church, 400 or 500 people. And so that night I said, man, now there's a prayer meeting at 6:30. And I said, service starts at 7 o'clock. I would love to invite you to come. She said, I will be there tonight. And so I went early to the church, and the auditorium was, the lights were dimmed. I walked in the auditorium, and there's one lady in there. And I said, who on earth would be here this early? And I walked up to the lady. It was a lady I led to Jesus Christ. And I said, ma'am, what are you doing here so early? I told you the meeting did not start till 7 o'clock. And she said to me, well, now that I'm a Christian, don't you think I should be attending prayer meeting too? I said, yes, ma'am. Well, the service started at 7 o'clock. I did not get a chance to talk with the pastor before the service. And for the first time that week, this pastor did something very unusual. He said, before we begin the service, would anyone like to give a testimony? And the lady I led to Christ, she jumped up in front of several hundred people. And she said, yes, sir, I would. And pastor said, what would that be? And she said, this afternoon, your speaker came to my house. He took the Bible. He opened the Bible. He showed me things I never saw. He led me to Jesus Christ. And then she turned around and faced the congregation and said, now I want you people to know that I am a Christian. And she sat down. Oh, the power of the message of the Word of God. And in our ministry, we have the message. But third of all, look in verse 3. I want you to see the consecration of his mission. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. You know something, congregation? There's something we cannot lose. And that is making ourselves available in reaching the unsaved for Jesus Christ. Because if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Several years ago, I told the Lord this. I said, Lord, I always want to make myself available to you and let you use me. And so several years ago, my wife and I were home. And I said to her, I said, honey, would you like to go for a ride in the country? She said, yes, I would. And so we went down to a little town called Lowndesville, about 20 minutes from my home. And I said to her, honey, I said, would you mind if I stopped by and saw this man? I met him several years ago, and it won't be more than a minute. Would you mind? She said, honey, take as much time as you need. I knocked on the door, and I saw there's a lock on the door. And that kind of bothered me. And so I knocked even harder. And the man on the back porch stuck his head around. He said, may I help you? I said, yes, sir. I'm looking for Larry. He said, well, Larry, I bought Larry's home. I said, that explains this lock right here. He said to me, who are you? I said, well, I'm a friend of Larry's. He said, what's your name? I said, Jerry Savinsky. He said, what do you do for a living, sir? I said, I'm an evangelist. And the guy absolutely just froze on that back porch. He said, you mean to tell me that you're a preacher? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I cannot believe you're here. I said, why'd you say that? He said, because I've been contemplating taking my life all day long. And you say you're a preacher, huh? I said, yes, Kevin, can I come and talk with you? He said, yes. I sat down at the table. I took the word of God. And the first thing he said was this. He said, Jerry, my hell is now hell on this earth. I said, no, Kevin, this earth is not hell. He said, I know what? I said, what's that? He said, God is punishing me for my sins. I said, no, God is not punishing you for your sins. And I took the word of God And I began to show Kevin and have him feast his eyes on the Word of God. And everything I showed that man, he said, "This is what I need to hear. I believe that." And finally, I said, "Kevin, would you like for the Lord Jesus Christ to save you?" He said, "Yes, I would." And the man poured his heart out to God and prayed and invited Christ in his heart. And then he shocked me by what he said after that. He said, "Jerry, 2 years ago, I was that close of committing suicide. When there was a knock on my door, it startled me. I opened the door. A man said, 'I am Pastor so-and-so. I want you to have these materials from our church.' He gave me the materials. He turned around and he left. He said, 'Today, 2 years later, I've been contemplating, I'm that close of committing suicide, and there's this knock on the door that startled me. And when you said, you are an evangelist, I knew God sent you. But you took the Bible, and you showed me how Christ can save me.'" Well, I'm not embarrassed to tell you, folk, I couldn't hold back the tears. I mean, I just could not hold back the tears. I began to walk to the car, and I was weeping, and I thought, all I was going to do was go and say hello to Larry. I had no idea this guy had been contemplating suicide. All because, many years ago, I told the Lord, "I always want to make myself available." Now, congregation, is that asking too much of you? As a child of God to your wonderful, kind, heavenly Father, just to make yourself available, you have a ministry. You have a circle of influence. You've got the power of the Word of God. And I'd pray there'd be a consecration of your mission, that God would use you to make yourself available and watch what God will do in saving souls. Let's bow our head and pray, please.